We're talking about something real, if you've been following the story. You know, there is an entity that apparently occupies this building, known as the Hobgoblin. But do we how close can we get to the official Native American name for it?
Wataka.
Wataka. You're pretty sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. Is that Wataka or Wataka?
Okay, great.
Hey, y'all can sit down for the scene.
Yeah, we're just already here.
Do we need them mic'd up?
What I'm going to do, because it's so echoing here, they're going to be capturing our...
Oh, the echo's perfect. We're in church.
Mics, and yeah, but I'm also going to do voice recording on my phone.
All right.
This phone. All right, I am recording. Do you want the light on or no?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that light on?
No light.
No, I would say no harsh light.
Okay. Hobgoblin.
Yep. So we're entering the spiritual portion of our program here as we make contact with them. Well, first of all, the astrology tells quite a story. That's frankincense. It tells quite a story, and with a chart, there's no absolute certainty of anything, right? We've left that realm, and besides, it's fake anyway, because the rules of science only get you so far.
Sure.
They fall apart very quickly when you start to ask real questions. Certainly questions of causation don't really work so well. Anyway, so we're only looking at a picture of the commencement of all of this, what I would consider a valid time, because it's the stated time, and it's the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just you started, and then you, that very day, you dug up the key. Pretty much you were done when you dug up the key. Like, that was...
So you think the key was the catalyst, not breaking the ground. The key was
all of the above. I mean, all of the above. But I mean, you might not have found the key. You might, but anyway,
sure.
It's good there were archaeologists working. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then when you get a chart, the first thing you want to check is, you give it a kind of a sniff test. Does this chart seem like the thing you're talking about? Is the chart valid? In other words, there's rules here. If this number is too low or too high, it's not valid. If the moon's number is too high, it's not valid. Saturn appears here, you might throw the chart out. We have no strictures against judgment. We have a green light to proceed reading the chart. And usually this all takes like 5 seconds in my mind, but I'm explaining it
sure.
out loud since I've got my introductory astrology class and questions.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying here, just for the layman's, right?
Yep.
That based on the astrological charts, just taking it from face value, we have validity in what we're seeking to do here.
Well, the chart is what's called radical. The chart connects to the issue.
Okay.
Now, how the validity works, well, the chart tells a story. And the chart tells the story in the motion of the moon, and this chart looks like it lasts about 7 months. So, it's a whole, we're in a new scenario 7 months after this date. That'll be July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, February-ish. You're in new time, and then you have a couple of more months to kind of wrap things up. So
what does that mean?
Consider the timing. Like, how long are those bodies going to be out of the ground?
Maybe two years.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to tell all this to our friend upstairs. I'm going to be the one who explains what we're doing. I'm kind of your ambassador to the spirit world, and I'll make sure I have clarification.
Is it natural to be afraid? Are we supposed to be afraid?
I'm not. I know, and that's not a good idea.
So there's actually, I do want to bring this up. So based on the mythology that we researched on this, the hobgoblins actually fear people who are basically fearful of it, or scared, or cowardice.
Like
more
dogs.
More so than dying.
Like dogs.
Yeah. Like, they would rather, dying is less fearful than cowardice is to them. And it actually causes them to be more vengeful and angry if you go into it with a point of fear or cowardice towards them.
Okay.
So this is a friendly gesture.
Okay.
I'm going to introduce this as friends. I'm going to explain the purpose of why we're here,
sure.
Bringing some very nice gifts. I was able to run around my house and get all the things we need. I've got some De Kuyper peach tree snop in place of rum. That was very popular schnapps, you know, in the 1980s. It was the liquor business in total. I've got some tobacco. I've got some sage. I've got some fresh honey, honeycomb honey. I've got a couple of handmade candles. I've got a squash, and I've got an apple. I've got frankincense. Entities love frankincense. They love to be appreciated. They love to be respected for their power. And we now have a sense of its reality. We have a sense of its power. We have a sense it's capable of making judgments. And look, you did it a big favor. You let the genie out of the bottle for 170.
You think we released the hobgoblin?
Yeah.
From his bondage.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know whose concept it was to lock him up there in the first place.
The Germany of the church.
It's very Christian, to lock an entity up in the steeple. It's like, oh, thanks a lot. So, so we're here on a genuinely friendly gesture. I think we owe it an explanation of what we're doing, like the whole project, and also the fact that I'll get back to the chart in a second because it does say some things. And the fact that once this tornado blew out, things proceeded fairly smoothly, right?
Yeah.
Nobody died. Nobody,
no.
You know, none of your archaeology students went missing.
Right.
You actually found the bodies.
Yeah, the only thing of interest that happened was about maybe 2/3 of the way through, the signage falling out, the wind blowing it off from the steeple, and it spelling out hobgoblin, happy, ha ha ha.
That's divination. That's not a mishap. That's the thing saying hello. Hobgoblin happy, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
So you think the hobgoblin was aware of us being there?
Hell yeah.
Before we found the key.
Well, you found the key the first day, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no real time for these kind of non-physical entities, but there's something a little bit like it. I mean, certainly from our point of view, it hasn't been attended to in nearly two centuries. And so it is a kind and friendly gesture to bring it the very things that we know that it wants. There's some bread. I've got a bread like substance. Let me get that while
we have
poutine.
We have poutine.
Jeff, how's the zoomed in? Let me see it real quick.
It's zoomed out all the way out. I can tell you what I've got here on my little ritual tray. I went through it once, but I can do it again. And all of this is traditional to use in any form of a ritual, making contact with entities and making an offering. And since it has a Native American provenance, Wetika, tobacco is a natural. You bring tobacco. We're going to ask permission to enter all of its spaces. We're not just going to go,
barging in.
Yeah, not going to go barging in. And I'm going to listen quietly. But the things I've got here, first of all, is a space clearing bell.
Okay.
You can hear it's not a typical bell.
It goes for a while.
It's got a lot of resonance.
It goes for a while. It's nice. It's like weighs about 6 ounces. And then from your information, fruit and bread. That's bread enough.
Ooh.
And then squash.
I had a cold chill rush through.
You had a cold chill?
Yeah, like for the first time. Like I
squash
seriously.
Is nice. This is a Vinny up in Saugerties.
Yeah.
This is a nice organic squash. A little sage to clear the air. De Kuyper peach tree schnapps, because there's the legend of De Kuyper peach tree schnapps.
Sure.
But it's, I'm kidding. But it's rum-like, and it's fruity, and it's sweet, and then sage. Entities love sage. Tobacco. Got some nice tobacco that's been just waiting on my counter. And then we're going to light a handmade candle and leave one for it. We'll come down with one, and then we'll leave one.
We'll leave it lit?
I have to go back and get one that can stand up. We don't really have anything to stand it up in.
I don't know, because there's a lot of wood up there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave a lit candle up there. I had a Tony Fauci devotional candle.
Oh,
I have two of them existed from watching a Tony Fauci video. He had devotional candles on his shelf with his picture on them.
Kind of how are y'all feeling?
Priestly frock, but I didn't bring those. It was too. I didn't think it. He seems to like mischief. So, but anyway, in any event, I brought a handmade candle, and I've got some frankincense, which is a thing that, first of all, it feeds the spirit world and it attracts angelic entities. So it's
Now,
it's a thing. So
we need to leave this at his door, right? The door we think the key goes to.
Well, yeah, I would leave it outside. Sure, as close as we can get, because have you been up there yet?
There's some, according to the pastor, there's an access in there. There should be, there's a flooring. There should be some placements in there. So if we want to set it in his room, we could probably do that.
Okay.
So we'll find out when we get there.
And we haven't been, we went to the entrance.
We know he's not locked in there anymore if he can go outside and spell his name.
But he may return.
On the ground. Sure, he's familiar.
I'm leaving all options open.
You know, we don't know if he has a Stockholm syndrome, but you know, we know that he's out and he's free. And there is one planet that is associated with that, and it's actually an interesting placement. So let's take a look at the chart. Mm-hmm. So there's no strictures against judgment in the chart that I can see. The chart's saying, go ahead, read the chart. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do is you make sure the chart says, read me. This chart says, read me.
Okay.
So you didn't, as far as I know, you didn't know you were commencing this on the day of the full moon, right?
No, we did not.
We had no idea.
Right.
We weren't in charge of when the dig started.
I see.
Yeah.
So you initiated this dig. Just 2 hours before the full moon.
Really? I did not know that.
Well, and the way you can see that is the sun is right here, and it's close to the summer solstice, right?
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then 1 p.m. Daylight is noon Eastern, mm-hmm. noon standard. So you've got the sun right on the meridian.
Wow.
Right, the meridian is the you know, the zenith of the chart. So the sun is right at the zenith of the sky. And the moon is consequently right on the nadir. So you get a number of messages from this. One is, first of all, this is likely to be a well-known and, I would say, potentially, assuming you respect the forces involved, a successful venture. I'm going to get to the forces involved in a second.
Sure.
Capricorn is the sign of potentially of dead things. It's the sign of ancestors. And it is right, the moon, look at this, the moon is on the nadir to the degree. The nadir is 20 degrees and 52 minutes, and the moon is at 20 degrees and 19 minutes. And this number changes every 4 minutes. So wow. To hit the moon making contact with the nadir, that would have been over 5 minutes later.
Wow.
So this chart is very...
chill
aligned, and while you know it's not at the exact full moon, 1 degree is pretty exact. But you also got it with the moon and the sun angular. It's a strong chart.
Wow,
in many, many, many ways. So we have an image of your ancestors here in the Capricorn moon. There's a cemetery, right? This is the hobgoblin is a domestic entity. Okay. Anything that does dishes and folds the laundry. Is mm-hmm. a domestic entity, right? So we're in the house of domestic, the fourth house, but also the Capricorn on the fourth is also a nice symbology of a cemetery. So
sure.
there's a dig going on. There's emphasis there. Now, this whole side of the chart is the side where the environment comes to you.
Which side? Which side?
This whole side, this whole hemisphere. The whole okay. hemisphere, it's reversed. This is the west.
We've got a lot.
And it's a lot of activity coming in from the west. It's a whole bunch of people here. Now, there are generally two houses that deal with the affairs of the dead. Let's get to those in a second. First of all, part of Fortune conjunct Chiron, you have green light to go if your mission is healing. So we are proceeding in a spirit of healing, and we'll do nothing that does not help the benefit the cause of healing. So we know we have a green light go if our mission is to help heal the past.
Okay,
which is all really, really is to heal.
Right.
One last thing to touch base with is that the chart is ruled by Libra, which is nice, mm-hmm. and the two rulers of Libra are in a perfect angle. Saturn is the exalted planet, and Venus is the ruler. So they're right there, and they're in Gemini and Aquarius. It's very communicative. So this is a nice open chart in some ways.
Can I ask you something? So what's this positioning here, this area right here?
Well, this whole angle is relational here. When we go from house 5 out to house 8 here, it's all relational. In different contexts.
Right. Is this Aries?
Yes.
Okay. All right. My birthday is March 21st, 1980. I'm an Aries. Mm-hmm. And this right here is my birthday.
That's your birthday?
That's my birthday right there. The 21st. I was born in 1980 in the 80 period. I'm an Aries. I was in March. My day of birth is March 21st.
Where's the 4? The 0425?
I don't.
So you got 25. But you're born on the, on the equinox.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Around the equinox. And I see the 21st below it, the Aries symbol. And on my end, it's upside down, so it says 80.
So those are arc minutes, and those are degrees. Okay. So now here, we're talking about a project involving the affairs of the dead. Right? That's what we're talking about. Right? So we have two houses clearly indicated with the affairs of the dead. 12th house here, the 8th house here. And they're a little bit different in terms of the affairs of the dead. This is more... 12th is more distant into the past. 12th is more ancestral. The 8th is more immediate. Wills and trusts and funerals and also inheritance and really good sex are all included in the 8th house. And all of Taurus counts for the 8th house. And what we see in Taurus are a mix of very powerful energies. And they include Mars, right? Mars in Taurus, it's not, Mars is ruled by Scorpio and Aries, so it's opposites of detriment or fall or something. And here, I think, is our hobgoblin friend, this dervish-like figure, Uranus, this kind of rebellious, revolutionary type of spirit, splat in the 8th house, Uranus there, right? And right on the north note, we've got a lot of focus on this thing. So he shows up in the chart. And we get a caution with that it could be disruptive. We've experienced that directly.
Oh, yeah.
Uranus can be violent. It has a sudden onset and sudden retreat. And then Mars is hanging around too. So there may be other entities involved. There may be something else involved. So we're on notice to be careful with this Mars. But it's not terribly... cautionary, but it's just saying, be mindful, pay attention. Mm-hmm. The last part of this is there's something here about women that I think that part of the business we're resolving is something about the nature of the female ancestry line. Mm-hmm. And I think we should explain to it that we brought our token woman to testify to this. What is your name?
Jillian.
Hi, Jillian. This is a different world for women, and that if they want, women are free to actually be people.
Sure.
They're not trapped in these very strict structures that certainly Dutch culture and all Christian Protestant culture and, for that matter, Catholic culture tends to, barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. So that's no longer necessary. Sure, a lot of women choose it and they, don't know quite what else to do besides have a baby, but they don't have to do that if they don't want to do that. So we're going to tell the ancestors, and the hobgoblin is the only person that knew them and also knows us. So we're communicating with the kind of like a series of intermediaries, including me and it, that it's a different world for women. Because this looks like something unresolved in the female side of the psychology, or an injury of some kind that's on the way to healing. And then the other interesting thing is that Ceres, like Gaia Mother, is one of the most elevated planets in the chart. It's right with the sun. It's right in the aspect pattern that the moon is going to make. So you see it right there at the top of the chart in the 10th house is Ceres. Which is Gaia, Earth Mother. So there's something here about honoring the women in the female line who I would say may have been aware that they got kind of a raw deal in that in the era of we're talking about almost pioneers. We're talking about right on the line between pioneers and settlers.
We're
right?
talking about people that lived 400 years ago.
Who had to build a stockade.
Yeah,
and I think part of what we can do is we can drop the stockade. I think part of what we live with in this particular community, where I have now lived since 2007, summer of 2007,
sure,
right inside here. Yeah, for a little. I guess I moved into. I had got an art studio in the stockade in the spring of 08. So it's quite a while, 14 years. Is that the stockade creates containment? And it creates a defensive structure, and the land, to my knowledge, never ever been no attempt made to purify, rectify, make contact with mm-hmm. the past till this time. And
what
this
do you
time
think?
Is
do you think there's any attempt, like our attempt at exhuming our ancestors to make contact with the past? Is this the most significant contact?
Would you know? I mean, are you a historian of these things?
I am a historian. I mean, for the European past, yes.
Yeah, European past. Yeah. The Dutch past of this. So this has been the most significant.
And who's like who here has made contact with the natives whose land we took? What is your name?
Taylor.
Hi, Taylor.
Right.
I'm Eric.
Nice to meet you, Eric. Yeah. So in 1665, there was a treaty signed between the Dutch and the Lenni Lenape, the Nichols Treaty. So we still renew.
And our ancestor, one of them, one person we exhumed signed that treaty.
But a treaty is usually a shitty deal. I mean, the Indians traded Manhattan for $24 and trinkets. So, let's consider this a good start,
okay.
Or at least a sincere.
But you think this is the most significant attempt at connecting with the Dutch past, the European past?
For sure, this has never been done statewide, even beyond Kingston.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, so we can indicate our intent.
You said limits exceeded.
Hold on. Sorry.
Our intent to, heal.
There we go, Jeff.
I'm chilling.
You know, to offer some rectification from the past. And this is a very restless angle of the dead. So, I've personally seen the streets flooded with ghosts. We have the vice president laying in the grave. His flame is not tended. It's supposed to have an eternal flame. It's not tended.
Talk about George Clinton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They moved his body here, too.
I know. They dragged him up from D.C., not from Arlington, but from a different one. But there's a flame on top of his grave that's not kept lit.
Hmm.
I'll be back around Halloween with a second, second tray. But this is not hospital food, so... we're bringing the good stuff up.
So with all this information, Eric, what's our next steps to be able to appease the spirit?
Well, I'm not sure you have to appease it as much as make friends with it.
Well, in my house with my wife, appeasement is normally making friends.
Right. And we can wait further information. Obviously it can spell. It understands geography. It has a lot of talents that most adults don't have.
Right.
It's from an older time.
So do you think to go up there to give him an offering?
I would say so. We need to work with protection. If you're not religious, that's fine. But usually your best protection is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Christ, whatever you want to think of it as. Kind of an organizing, loving principle that's protective. And if you're in a dream and you're in trouble... You know, if you're being, there's entities in a dream, you just invoke the Christ. You'd be amazed how quickly you will suddenly be in a whole different place. So if we go with that, we go in a spirit of love and I don't know where we're going to be, what we're going to find, how exactly it's going to feel. This is in some ways symbolic, but this whole thing is symbolic, really.
Right.
I mean, we're working in the symbolic realm, and I suggest we leave a copy of the chart up. Yeah, I'm going to leave. So we have an extra copy.
Can we sign it too, or no?
No, I just initial it. This is my work. Okay. I mean, you can, but it's I just sign my work as an astrologer. Okay, so let's I need to put this stuff back in my bag, or less, and.
So we'll go up to the lower section and we'll get things prepared, and then when you're ready we'll
I suggest we travel as a group.
All right.
It's going to take me just a minute to pull my stuff together.
Sure.
And that I would propose, I don't mean to be bossy, but I would propose we let me be the kind of prow of the ship to sense the energies as we're going forward. And
you're the expert.
Everything that experience, not quite expert. I mean, I've probably done something like this, I don't know, 50, 100 times. So
we go through there. There's a door access, and there's a room over there where we can, once we go up there, we can all collect, and then we can get in line, because it's from what we have seen, it is a bit of a narrowing passageway.
Okay, so, how many flights up is it?
To where we're going to go...
Probably four.
Four. And the first stairwell, it's pretty easy in there. Then the stairwell gets very narrow, like this wide.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to go up to a room, and then we go to another room, and then we go to the room where we were going to be at.
Yeah.
Okay. And Let's see. Has someone got a bag? Like, can someone handle this for me?
Because it's absolutely.
Get in the way of.
So do we need to have a little conversation to the four of us as he's getting ready?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab my flashlight before we go up.
Yeah. No.
All right. And how'd you like to be the honey bearer?
Me?
Yeah, because if I throw it in the...
I will bear the honey.
All right. But if you're a historian, you know this stuff is historically documented. So your job is not to judge it, but to observe what is known in history. And since history is written basically by the Christians, they're going to vanquish most references to things that would be considered pagan.
Yeah.
And since the Native Americans were trounced, trampled, and massacred by white people, their culture too is going to be vanquished.
So is the
Hobgoblin
a Native American entity then? Was it here before the
Dutch? Well, I don't know. So it says it would come with Henry Hudson, but it also has a Native American name, Witika. So it's known in different places.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, this is one of the more kind of active places in the world, I think, Hudson Valley in general.
Yeah.
Unless we go and we never come back.
So let's do it right and let's do it justice.
Yes.
Alright, it should be rung intentionally.
Yeah, Eric, can we get a shot of you real quick?
Yeah, you don't have enough?
Well, so can you stand right here, Eric? We were getting a really nice shot of everybody right there.
Oh, that just happens all the time.
Face me.
It wasn't even a historical document. It was just like a prank.
All right, can you turn your left shoulder a little bit this way? There we go.
Oh, this is lovely. That's nice.
Especially when there are, you know, multiple cultures referencing the same thing.
Well, that's how I feel about religion.
To assume everything's a coincidence is pretty naive.
Ready?
Should he follow us or go
ahead? Follow you first and then go ahead of you?
Well, I don't know where to go. So we lead up to the room and then we'll have to do the shot.
No, you lead. Because the walk back.
Yeah, just follow us. Just follow us. This one.
Beating hard, but I don't know if it's because of my stairs that I just climbed up.
I think we're good.
Do you feel tired?
We're good. Well, I'll follow us to here. How many of these human gifts? I'm going to tell you what the heck we're doing. Oh, someone carpeted this for us.
Yeah, should we do that up there?
Stair climb.
Two more, actually.
And these are stairs.
These are stairs. And then there's a much narrower staircase to get up to his room.
Let's wait for Jeff. Got to get this documented.
Wow.
This graffiti from 100.
This is the least
creepy
room.
This is what I was talking about. Where are the steps that go to?
So this right here are the old steps. It's boarded up. They built like some black and white.
Oh.
This is to ring the bell?
Yes, this is for the bell.
This is a new bell or an old bell?
I believe it's the original.
Still here?
I don't know if I told it.
That tones the bell, it really does.
Oh, it tones. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's tied to the bell. It's the original rope.
I get scared.
It's a little spooky.
So Eric,
we shouldn't be spooky.
Eric, the floor above us, that's the floor to the Hobgoblin's lair. It's up those stairs, and according to what we understand, there should be a door with a skeleton key right past it, and it goes into their room.
Okay. So, and this that's, is what his, the, now the that's officially his floor.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what the pastor told us earlier.
Okay. All right, so...
Hey, that's tradition.
We're here. We're here with gifts, and we're here to visit. So, can we come up? Anybody? I'm getting the yes.
Let's get the hobgoblin and tobacco and fruit and food and all the good stuff.
There you go.
I'm scared of heights, but I'm a
what are you?
Fireplace.
To the left.
Is there a room?
No. We're in it.
All right, I see the doorway behind you.
Hold on, I'm gonna take my bag off.
We're here.
Yeah, I feel high.
There's a very, very pronounced draft.
Can I get a little bit of light?
Well, I'm in it.
Oh.
There's the room, and there's the door. Well, we're not doing anything to our base.
Okay, so I need to collect my stuff from here because there's no crossway. So would you slide my cup over? First the fire. We're gonna keep real careful track of that.
Yes. There's two rooms,
and then
so much smaller doorway.
And then.
We keep an eye on the floor as we walk.
The floor is solid. The stairs do it.
Okay.
Here's the. Someone sit this right here, Eric. I want to help them up. Okay, do you want to step on that side and we'll help everybody up to the room?
To the Hobgoblin's room.
Oh God!
So this is the room where you think he was confined, or where's
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
This where's is the key lead to?
Right here.
This is the key lock.
Ah!
There is a door here.
All right. I would recommend some point soon this be cleaned up.
Okay. It's a little.
Can't really get a shop vac up here, but I think it's tidied.
Do you need some extra?
Do you want me to grab the camera?
You get up here and you can get in position, we'll get the door. That is something that was left here before.
Oh.
Here it was. So some kind of previous offering.
Yeah.
Maybe they were grease for the gears. All right.
Ah.
You guys want to come over this way?
Yeah. Okay.
I can help you, buddy.
Okay. Yep.
All right. There's your light. Okay. I'll get the camera. The phone. Here. Camera. Good.
I'm still here.
I'm not going to pull you at all. I'm just going to hold you straight.
Okay, we're still here.
Get in here.
Okay.
Watch out.
I would not want to be locked in here for 170 years.
We're still rolling, okay?
Of course. I hope so.
There.
feeling?
Not so much.
He may not be here right now.
I think, he may be out tomcatting around, or he might be down with the DJ. You know, a lot of fun things have happened up here all those years, and,
yeah.
All the scratching on this.
Oh, look at that.
There's scratches.
What is that?
I don't know.
There's scratches all down the wall. That's not natural.
No.
No, that's not natural.
Taylor, do you see this?
That's... Ooh.
So let's get some photos of that.
Yeah, that's...
There's all the scratches up here. Look, there's lettering.
Lettering.
S. A.
There's... Yes. S. A. F. Oh. Something. Yeah.
Rob did tell me about these.
Yeah.
He says that there was hobgoblin marks up here, but
what?
I didn't.
Rob told you that?
He did. I didn't believe
the pastor of the church told
him. The pastor of the church.
There's hobgoblin marks. Up marks.
They're scratching right into them.
Oh, you closed the door?
Look, skeleton keyhole, everything.
So, right honey there. Bear, do you have
the
your
key
honey?
Is that size.
Honey. Huh?
So,
what? Honey? Honey, I handed it off to
Justin.
Well, the honey's right there.
Honey.
All
right. Whew. Scared me. Thought I messed something
all right,
up.
So, Mr. Hobgoblin. I brought you some of the good stuff. Some honey, that's for my friend Vinny up in Saugerties. That is some peach tree schnapps. Let's see, this is 1870.
1870's cards right here.
And,
are you opening that door?
Look at all the markings.
1868, WW.
So keep listening. Just stay focused. Keep listening.
Gage, are you opening that door?
No.
It's just doing it outside.
Opening.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'm not touching it.
I need a level in here right now.
Handmade
it's
candle.
It's the seagull leaves.
Okay.
A light one. This place will go up like Notre Dame, so... Let's not do that.
No.
And an apple. Stole that from the kitchen. And butternut squash, in case you like that. And some tobacco. Loosen that up for you.
Good job. Did we get what he's offering?
Probably get in there and get a close up of that so we can actually. Nothing in here by the bell rope.
And, there's something to light the candle.
Fill the drafts.
Okay, so, who's gonna be the candle bearer?
I'll be the candle bearer.
We can't leave this lit, I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
But would love to leave it lit for you, but
the limbo
he asked for. He's hanging around.
You think he's here?
Yeah, I'm gonna remember we're gonna tell him what we're doing, like what our whole purpose here is. But first we'll just get the house gifts out of the way. Oh, and a nice hunk of bread taken from the kitchen. These people eat a lot, and they don't give you very much. So I'm happy to be bringing you what seems to be your first meal in nearly two centuries. All right. So who wants to explain to our friend what we're doing here?
Justin and I'll explain.
All right.
Can we both do it?
Nice and simple, friendly.
Sure.
Come in peace. Right. That's first thing.
Okay. So
in spirit of peace and healing.
Okay. We both hold it.
Sure.
All right. Dear spirit that is here and has been held for so many, many years, we want to come and provide tithings of welcome, thanks, and appreciation.
We're here to apologize for disturbing your ground. We realize that we may have released you from your bondage, but we do, it wasn't intentional. We do apologize if we've caused you any undue harm. We do come in peace with the offerings. We were on a quest to search for our ancestors that you might have known. So we do come in peace with good intentions.
So please accept these offerings from us with hopeful gratitude as we offer these openly and willingly to you with the same level of gratitude.
So as far as we know, you're free to move about the planet. We ask that you use your power wisely and responsibly and not harm anyone. And I don't agree that you should have been left up here all that time. I think that was a desperate failure of judgment. So you're a natural being, and I think you should be free, and we will not harm you, and we ask that you not harm any people. And if you want to help us out, that would be lovely. These guys are making a movie.
Do you guys want to say anything?
You're the star.
Jillian, do you want to say anything?
Here, you guys should.
I'm just honored to be part of this journey up here in the Old Dutch Church, and I am here with Taylor, who is the historian of Kingston, and I wouldn't be here without him and his knowledge and getting to know both of you. So just a reiteration that I'm not here to cause any harm. Watching this flame flicker pretty hard, I hope that's a good sign. never here to hurt anybody.
Taylor, a few words to the Hobgoblin.
I don't know what to say. We've heard a lot about you, and I hope you like our nice mural that we made for you during O Positive a few years ago. And if you are released now, I hope you get the opportunity to enjoy the rest of the world in New York, and we come in peace.
All safe?
Do you think he's here?
Well, I'm not being overwhelmed, but it's a fair assumption that he can hear everything we're saying.
I really hope that because of this dig, because of the project that we did and the offering we made to the Hobgoblin, every time Justin and I make a journey to Kingston, we hope that the Hobgoblin will be here to welcome us.
Well, you asked for his welcome, and this is some kind of a, resident entity.
Right.
For Kingston. Yep. And I have to say, Uptown Kingston has been a tortured and somewhat miserable place for many years. And I'd mentioned the idea of wanting to kind of push the stockade down. Like, imagine those four walls, 800 by 800 by 800 by 800, just going down, and let's let the energy flow. And we who live here not feel like we are confined here, because the stockade is a confinement. Just like locking somebody in this room is a confinement.
Is the bell ringing a good sound, or is that a sound at all?
We know that it's striking 10.
My phone says 9:58, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's 9:59, and your phone is probably right. This is just ordinary wristwatch. Where did the frankincense go? Some little light somewhere around here. It's like I left it on the right here. I see.
Okay. How far up the steeple are we?
We're not actually in the steeple part yet. The
part where it blackens goes up. Yeah. That's up those stairs outside, probably 2 or 3 more rungs.
Wow.
So we're up high right now.
Holy smokes.
Where the vents are?
Yeah, gotcha.
We're not even to the bell yet.
Oh, no, the bell's out there.
And it's not even, that's not really even a bell that we're hearing. That's just a speaker, right? Speaker, that was put in.
Yeah, that right there is the actual bell.
Yeah, there is a bell. They just don't use it anymore.
You, can you give it a ring?
We could.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Give it a pull.
It may be.
I don't know if we need to do that, man. I don't know if we need to do that. It's an old bell. I don't know if that
thing
will fall.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
The first bell did fall through the church.
That's what I'm saying.
I would not.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So you're not thinking they built the second bell better?
No, I wouldn't do it.
I think there's a reason they installed speakers.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I saw it up there. This is actually wrapped.
Yeah, because they couldn't have any monks coming up here to ring it.
Because you would ring it downstairs in that bottom room. It's actually wrapped around the wheels, and the wheels are in good shape. The bell sits on the wheel in the middle of it. So all it does is to spin that.
Yeah,
if anything, it would break off the...
What happened?
Out again! Oh, my arm's getting fucking tired. My hand hurts.
Well, we got the shot. The battery's dead.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we got everything.
Right there.
I think
we should use the light we got from these flashlights instead of night vision.
Because
Okay. You watch it back.
I'll watch it
fucking
back.
Cool.
Color graded, probably.
Yeah, it's good. Fucking cool.
Yeah, there are a lot of marks on the walls here.
I know, man.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, what is that all about?
The Hobgoblin.
Good Lord. Does that just come from where?
Well, so there's bird bones on the floor. Yeah.
Yes, pigeons up here. Yeah.
But birds aren't going to scratch walls, though.
But if you come here, I'll show you something cool.
Well, where are they going to get leverage to?
Hey, Taylor, come here. You'll enjoy this.
Look right here.
That's my Uncle Billy's warehouse.
WW1868.
Pretty cool. William Walsh. That's William Walsh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The historian, William Walsh.
William Walsh.
No, seriously.
Look how the W's are carved.
Dutch style. Wow. Well, Eric, do you think we're good? I mean, you think we're...
I'm happy hanging out here for a second. I don't feel like I'm in a rush to get out of here. Let's take in the vibes. This is maybe our only chance to ever be up here.
The wax is melted on today.
There's a hole. There's a 6 or 7 there.
Hey, Jeff, why don't you film with somebody's phone?
What?
Well, we don't need to really film now.
So right there's the stairs on the right.
Oh, a little more will be good.
Try to get out.
You go up those stairs. That takes you on up to the actual...
So we're going to leave the food here, just put the burning out?
Yeah, I'm going to take back the... we're going to carry back down the fire.
This goes up. It turns, goes up and up.
Oh my god.
And it's about...
It gets narrow.
Appreciate you doing this.
It's very narrow.
Happy to help. Windows at the top.
This is crazy.
Just in time for Halloween.
Oh, this is the best time to be doing it. So you do astrology?
I'm an astrologer and a
people's names carved all the way up here.
Science fraud investigator.
You can see.
Ooh. So I work both ends of the
broke off.
Okay.
Angle. Today is day 944 for me covering COVID.
Cut marks, right?
Okay.
So I've worked every day since March 3rd, 2020.
Wow.
And then I've been an astrologer since 94. I got tapped.
Gotcha.
Like a joint skull and bones, only better.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I just started
looking. You guys got to see this photo. Okay. Huh? Look at this photo that Taylor got of me with the light beaming out of my head.
Oh, that's pretty good. Get one of us facing each other, like his light hitting me in the face.
You know what we should do?
Let's see.
And we should get both lamps, and we'll just have us, like, that'll be our uncovering history thing.
Do we have another lamp?
Well, he's the only one he's holding.
Is that a lamp? No, that's a flashlight.
It's also the flashlight, but you hold your flashlight and I'll do mine. That's
what
this second day.
Yeah, that light can't be pointing out.
Oh. It's going to be pointing up. Okay.
Yes, stay right there. Yeah. And Justin, if you can just angle yours up.
We got these wires in the way.
The wires are actually sick. Here, let me see if we can get it without the wire. see exactly where it's at. Oh, Gage, can you lower yours a little bit? There you go.
I got some good
ones.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. It's here. It's
all right. Oh, dude.
That's it.
That's sick.
Here, with the back, with awesome the red background of the candle.
I gotta get out of here, guys.
The candle's in the photo?
Okay. No, you can't, but you see the lighting.
You guys can.
Yeah, we're a little pressed for time, too.
Who wants this? I got the headlamp.
We appreciate it, Eric.
Oh, no, I'm not planning on it. I was just getting out of the way.
Go. How do I... Where am I in this phone to get just to a normal camera?
Too late. I don't think.
Too risky.
They're at Stockade right now.
Oh, okay. Here.
But I think we'll tell
them. You're in photo mode.
Yeah. I'm at short video mode. I'm just let it finish this exposure.
About.
Yeah, they don't
have to sign this. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for the invitation. Eric, this was a great meeting, man.
Here it is. Photo.
Yeah.
All right, Jill, do you want me to go first? And then you follow me?
Yeah, whatever you're
You're going to need a light.
But I'm not quite done.
If I don't see y'all before I leave, I'll see y'all in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Let me go to the video right there.
Do you know
video.
Where you go to Seance place?
It's right there.
It's Sam's
video.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a ordinary picture.
Seance.
Seance.
What is Seance?
Like
Seance.
You harvest the spirits.
Oh, in New Orleans?
Yeah.
There's plenty in New Orleans. I'm not too much, you know, I've explored New Orleans very much.
I just work in New Orleans.
Yeah.
What do I need to call?
What?
Let me pack back up. We should verify I haven't forgotten anything.
All right.
And then we just need to account for two burning objects.
Mm-hmm.
Jillian's got the candle.
Okay,
and we'll need the bell.
Got it?
Yeah.
And we'll need the bell. I'll put the bell in my bag. I'm going to just give it one last ring. So let's leave consciously before we depart.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Are you going or am I?
Where do you want me to go?
Can you hold this one without getting all the way down?
We're going down?
Mike? Yep. Great. Before you run down, do you want to help real fast?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do we need help with?
We need to get packed up and kind of go through the closing ceremony here.
Oh.
Okay, so the water would have been nice to put this out, but I guess someone... This is dangerous.
Yeah, I'll carry this.
Can we put it in the bowl?
In the bowl? I'm afraid it's going to catch fire.
I'll sage it on the way down.
Because it's these are hot coals. Is there anything you put in there? Good work, guys.
Thank you.
I just don't know the process. I'm gonna have a second look.
It's part improvised, part intuitive, part experience, and respect is the thing that lights the way.
Do you want me to carry the burning bowl, though? I'll be glad to.
Either way. Let's see how I feel with this on my back. It's a little bit lighter with all of our gifts up here. Let's take back the one that you didn't use. All right.
Okay. I will stay last.
Okay.
So I got the light.
What's the best way to do this?
That exactly you're doing it now. And just turn facing the stairs and go backwards down them. So you can hold them to the stairs.
So I'm going to leave this here, then I'm going to, once I've got a handle on stairs, I'm going to... his tomato to get his guy up.
Yeah, I'll climb back up.
You've got a clear shot down, there's no obstacles, and...
Yes, just the same.
Everything looks safe.
Steps down.
And I'm right here.
What's that plastic? You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
What is that on here?
That was not ours.
Yes. Okay, this is what I do. I go down as far as I can with my foot.
It's much better if you turn around facing the stairs so you can pull out.
There's the stairs.
Value or something.
A lot of wood up here. Pretty much. First set of stairs.
Oh, that's not normal stairs.
It's normal or abnormal?
That's not
abnormal.
Now you have attic hatchway from.
Oh, Jesus.
And who's the crazy pastor who's letting this do?
Box of pot.
Down there, take my bag. Group downstairs.
Camera battery's dead. It died at the right time though.
Say, you don't hear enough.
We gotta wait here for them. And there's still embers. There's sparks on the carpet.
Yeah, it'll be tragic to
turn the lights off.
Have the scanner go
turn
off.
Turn all the lights off.
Because I see a lot of light.
You imagine that?
We got him.
Now what's this down here?
We're just doing one last policing of the area.
Oh, that's the
Christmas decorations. Oh, a balcony.
Yeah.
There's a balcony?
Yeah, on both sides of the sanctuary.
An upper balcony?
Well, yeah. We got a balcony, that's
it. Look. Yeah, I photographed a wedding from up here.
Oh, did you?
I did.
You can go down this way too.
Can you?
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to.
I think the stairs are at the far end. Yeah, that's what my friend Bill's daughter getting married. All right.
Hopefully, we'll be able
seltzer go. Which bottom is it at?
Which one is
my bottle of seltzer?
Almost down here, the bottle right there.
Right. So when you think of the extreme unlikelihood that anyone would have ever dug up that key,
Should I start that over again?
Where's Jeff?
He walked around. I don't know, heard stuff.
Jeff Rowe. I'll come.
Tell me when you go.
There you go.
So we're back from dropping gifts upstairs for the Hobgoblin. And the thought I take away with me is, first of all, Hobgoblin, happy. Ha ha. And when you think of the astronomical odds against anyone actually digging up a key, that key in the Revolutionary Era Cemetery, the chances of that Hobgoblin being set free were fairly close to zero until Kingdom Come, or the communists took over and knocked down every church and rebuilt it. And so I think that a large part of the purpose of your mission here was to do exactly that, was to set this entity free.
So you think that was a divine purpose, maybe?
Synchronous. I mean, you came here with one mission, but I think it worked very well to let him go. And you got your message from him in the letters that fell off that rack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which said, Hobgoblin happy, ha ha.
Yeah.
Just saying. So now you kind of, I think, get to do what you want.
So we can walk away with clear minds and a level of peace to this?
Yeah, yes, I would say. And listen for messages, listen for information. And, you've now been initiated into the spirit world. Mm-hmm. Which you encountered, I won't say accidentally, but almost. But when you're going to dig up 350, is that right? How many 350-year-old graves? 320-year-old graves. You're going to move some energy and find unexpected things, and you're probably not done finding unexpected things, because the DNA has not even... The
project's still moving, yeah.
Project's still moving, and, and now we're telling the world something, which I think is to proceed on all these things with real awareness of the possibilities. Not to be superstitious, but just to be... respectful, and you came with one kind of respect. You came with respect for your ancestors and the 10,000 descendants of these people, and you've learned a different, you've been admitted into a different realm.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody gets to do that. Not everyone gets invited and gets to have a direct encounter with an entity. I'm sure you will proceed with respect the concept of a tree branch going through the car window.
Yeah, we won't relive that again if we can help it. But
yeah, but that is a message of like, yo, pay attention. We've got powers. We can move things around in the physical world, and as humans can move things around in the spiritual world. So, guys, thanks for inviting me into your project,
Eric. And thank you for coming along and being the sage in our wisdom and
sage with the sage.
Sage with the sage.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it,
Marcello. So let me give you copies of your charts.
Door closed behind me.
Did it?
Real squeaky and
really.
Yeah.
That's
fucking door.
Get this shot here. Yeah, we appreciate it. It was a good experience.
So what are you guys' travel plans?
I've got to travel out tomorrow, actually. And
flying where?
I'm driving back to Kentucky. And then I have many trips ahead of me. But, yeah. As far as all this goes, this is the first, and then we'll go from there. I think the next one's Freemasons or Mississippi.
What's Freemasons?
So we have a... We're going to have to fill you in on the story, but we...
There's some other mysterious things that went on in this
churchyard
that we dug up.
That's tied to our family. And
the Freemasons hid artifacts in the grave we dug. They hid artifacts in this grave in 1823.
It's tied to the first American crime of the century.
Can you tell me anything about it?
The Morgan Affair.
What's the Morgan Affair?
So, a quick synopsis of the Morgan Affair. During the early 1800s, you know, as we all know today, most of the founding fathers were in the Masonic Order. However,
most of them were.
Yeah, and as you know, the Masonic Order is tied to the Knights Templar, and there's a lot of association between the two. And given the fact that we just got out of English tyranny and English rule, most of the nation was really fearful of secret societies and people involved in them. They didn't essentially want people with that level of control behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And they knew that if that was to ever come out, and they knew who was involved in it, that it could actually destroy the government. It could destroy the whole country. So there was a situation where there was a writer.
William Morgan.
Well, actually, William Morgan wasn't. William, there was another individual who was writing this book. But he tried to get access into the Masons, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't let him in. So he was jaded by that. He ended up finding this man, William Morgan, who was a Mason, who was a fourth degree Mason. There's a total of 9 degrees in Masonry. So he wasn't very deep, but he was deep enough to know a lot of the inner workings. So he made a deal with Morgan because Morgan had been ousted from the society because of his drunkenness, that they would work together and collaborate on a book for a telltale all. And essentially what ended up happening, the long story short beyond that point, is they trumped up charges, the Masons did, against Morgan.
He didn't return a tie to somebody on time.
They claimed him to be...
So they arrested him.
A tie.
A $2
tie. This is the 1820s, yeah.
So he was arrested, and then later that night, he was bailed out by a group of Masons. And the last time William Morgan was ever seen, he was being whisked off in the back of a carriage, screaming out, "Somebody please stop and help me, they're going to kill me."
Murder.
So DeWitt Clinton, our distant ancestor.
DeWitt Clinton, the governor?
Yes. He's a descendant of all the people we've
seen. He was also the 9th degree Mason. He was the highest Mason in the entire order at the time in America. He led the order. He put out, and this is in the early 1800s, a $250,000 bounty to find out where William Morgan was. They knew he was never going to be found. So beyond that point, what essentially happened with our family, and this is the story to be told, was there was a, according to this, the whole cover-up, right, of William Morgan. And it kind of died down as the decades went on from the populace, but it was still talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And you fast forward 60 years, now we're into the late 1800s.
Yeah, 1880s.
And they're having a meeting of the New Holland Society. And the pastor of this church is there, mayor's there, governor's there, they're all meeting. And they're all having a conversation about the Morgan Affair, because it's still, in the lexicon of the annals of the history at this point, and they're talking about this. An old man approaches them, elderly man, and he says, "This is true." He said, "Well, how do you know?" He's like, "I was a boy, and I was there when this happened." And then he tells this fantastic tale of all this lore that happened to William Morgan. And one of the points of it was, he said, in Kingston, at the churchyard, in DeWitt Clinton's familial burial spot, they buried the documents, the inscriptions of all the founding people and all the members of the Mason orders, as well as the plaque that they would stamp this with.
Plate.
And you found this?
Well, so what happened was when this story has died. Nobody alive today knew this. In our research for the dig and the family plot, we came across an article published in a book in the 1920s. And this is what was going on. And what happened was, they wanted to hide this copper plate and all the certificates. The certificates had the names of the members of the lodge. During the Morgan Affair, they were lynching Freemasons. Once the public became aware that the Freemasons existed, because prior to the Morgan Affair, they were a secret society. Nobody even knew they existed. Unless you were a Freemason, you didn't know about it. The Morgan Affair brought, because the local newspapers found out about them, William Morgan, found out about the Freemasons, and they published all kind of like tabloid articles about them sacrificing babies, stuff like this, and the public hated them, so they started lynching
Right.
They started lynching Freemasons.
And one extra thing, and out of fear, because the writer of the book was afraid that he was going to be killed next, he moved forward with publishing his works. So you can still find the book about them. It's listed as being written by William Morgan, but it's actually written by this other author.
Right.
And he published it, and that just fed more fuel to the fire because it didn't give all the seedy details, but it gave out enough to prove the details around the Masonic order.
Right. Yeah. So nobody wanted to be known as a Freemason in this time. So what they did was take all their membership certificates and the printing plate that they would, it was a big copper plate, they would roll ink on it, it was a reverse image, and they would stamp a certificate. And this was supposed to have been Paul Revere that carved this, this copper plate, that engraved it. Well, this was in he would have engraved in the 1790s. In the 1820s is when they would have buried it in the churchyard. Now, it just said in the churchyard of Kingston, they buried it in the graves to hide it. And it wasn't until the 1880s, a very old member of this lodge told a judge that was very prominent in this church, Alfonso Clearwater, told them, yeah, we buried this plate in the grave of Andres DeWitt, the perpendicular headstone, the hobgoblin stone. He went out there and dug it up.
At night.
You know what the thing is? This story, the people involved have all been long gone. We contacted, actually, the guy that was here, Taylor.
Well, a lot of things, too. People didn't believe this. They thought this was just a false story, not a mythical story.
Well, Taylor, we get in contact with Taylor, the guy that was just here. He's the historian. He puts us in contact with the Freemasons. And it just so happens when I was talking to him, they were having a meeting two nights after that. And this guy brought it up in the meeting. It ended up being all they talked about the whole time. And they had just moved lodges. Okay, they were in Uptown in a stolen building, I think a stolen house, somewhere near here. They moved over to Morton Boulevard, towards the new part of town. And one of the members says, I remember seeing that in the lodge. And he went home, went to his house during the meeting, pulled it out of his closet, along with the certificate.
The copper plate.
The copper plate. And not only there's a lot of validity to the Paul Revere type, there's a maker's mark on it. The maker's mark was a guy that was an apprentice to Paul Revere. The year it was engraved, he was still under apprenticeship with Paul Revere. Paul Revere had a hand in making that copper plate. We found the plate. They had no clue what it was.
Where did you find the plate?
At the Freemasons Lodge. But they had been using it for decades at their old lodge as a door prop.
And Alfonso
it's probably
Clearwater,
worth $2 million.
Alfonso Clearwater being a
where
member,
is the thing now?
It's at the Kingston Freemasons Lodge. We had it here at the church during the day.
Yeah, we showed it.
The Freemasons brought it.
We got photos of it.
So it's real, and nobody knew the story. We uncovered it, but that's why it's uncovering history.
But the reason why it's interesting is because it proves a statement that made. The statement was that the old man knew that they had murdered him and hid the body, and then they hid all these artifacts. We found the artifacts. We know the artifacts are true.
So what did you find in the graves?
In the graves, they had already dug up those artifacts. So in the graves,
they were previously there. You didn't find any physical objects.
Well,
along
we
with
just
the skeletons.
Found something. We found as we were digging through. Besides we actually, as we dug down, because you can see where the disturbances of the ground.
Yeah, you could see where that somebody.
You
had
could see exactly where it had been because the disturbance of the soil, like I was mentioning about the
it's
sand.
It's about a foot and a half deep.
You could see it's about exactly. You could see exactly where they had buried it at, and they pulled it up and they threw the dirt back.
Yeah, you could see the disturbance clearly where they had dug, and it was on the south side of the stone. So the stone would have been
when we go out, can you show me the hobgoblin stone?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, we can go out. That'd be good. But what do you think about that? Would you have any role in art and in the Freemasons stuff?
I am no kind of expert in the Freemasons.
We don't have to be.
The guy who I was going to be doing a reading for tonight at 10 o'clock, who couldn't make it, fortunately, is a Freemason.
Maybe
he's one level up from Prentice. Maybe he's a first degree or a.
You already sure this stone?
I don't know how the orders go.
Yeah, so what do you think of that story?
Yeah, get ready to film.
Yeah. I mean, none of this is somebody's lives here. I mean, none of this is particularly far out of the ordinary or shocking. And I think it's darn well timed that it's coming to light.
Right. Who wants your opinion on this? Look at what they just took.
So, Perry was outside. He was not feeling all of this. So he said some prayers outside. He walked around the building and came back, and I videotaped, and you guys were going upstairs.
I mean, that's lens flare, technically.
Well, eye of protection, I mean.
It's in the shape of an eye, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is lens flare, but I cleaned my camera off twice.
Yeah, but you're shooting into the light. That's what happens when you shoot into the light. It's kind of a phenomenon inside the lens, but, you know, it's a cute looking.
Protein bar.
Right here.
Can I eat that bitch?
I'll do more, right?
Thanks.
Still got the camera.
Hi. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I'll get some before you walk down.
Okay. I don't know how to say relaxed or like relieving sensation.
I'll see you then.
So what I mean? Coming to me. And I was expecting to be to feel something. Yeah, it didn't work bad, but
I didn't feel anything out there. Is that out there before? I have hell yeah. You look like a human.
But it wasn't bad.
Do we need to wedge the store again?
We gotta close it all the way up when we're here.
So, you know where we were digging?
Yep.
Right? We put the stones right back where they came from.
We had to pull the hot stones off.
Ah,
that's it.
That's not the original stone down there.
So, let me show you what was originally there.
So you picked it, you had an extra stone that you just put there?
No, that's the stone, it's been there for about 130 years. It replaced this stone. This picture was taken in the 1850s.
Photo?
Yes. This. So I'm staying right here. So we're facing north. This guy was standing about right here when he took this picture.
Are you
good? That's what was there, a wooden post, and that stone. And they were perpendicular to all the other ones.
Would you consider emailing me that, please?
Sure. And what happened was they got emails in the late 1800s, and it crushed me. You know, this stone is upstairs in the church now.
Well,
it's upstairs. So they put a broken piece of headstone there to keep the marker there. So that there's always been a perpendicular stone look right in the spot. Now that stone's gone. That one, you know, there was another one right next to it.
Yeah.
That's just that. They found the bottom.
That's the original hobgoblin stone.
The original stone. Okay. That's from 1710. And we found this Andre still there. That's one of the guys we exhumed. His body was this way.
But the hobgoblin's not confined till 1820. 1850, what's the year they...
Well, no. We don't know. That's the thing. There's some accounts that have even 1680 being locked in the church deep.
1680?
Yes. Mind sending me the audio recording from the
absolutely
family.
Yep, yeah, I can do that tomorrow.
So the soil is actually packing down really nicely here,
but you're going to dig them back up.
Well, but we don't have to dig up this whole entire area again. Just where the barrier was.
And then how are you going to do that digging?
We're going to do it.
We found the men's heads right here. We found one man here and one man underneath him. And we found the women perfectly in line with them here. Their feet were here. Their heads were going that way.
So they were feet to feet?
Well, feet to head, because you're buried facing east, Christian burials.
I see.
So the men's heads were right here, and their feet were going that way, and the women's feet were going, you know, this way. Heads were over here. But they were all perfectly in line. So, you know, we dug them up. We got the bones, you know. We're going to put them back. And they're going to have a full burial ceremony and a marker. We're going to replace this. That's not the original marker. We're probably going to keep it here. We're just going to put a wooden post behind it, you know, a replica of what was there.
And what's going to have all the names?
That the marker we put.
Yes. It'll be a stone marker.
Yeah, stone. It's going to be, but we might shape it like that wooden post was.
Keep it kind of pretty. Use local stone.
Yeah, absolutely. Ground's packing down really nicely here. Bring that. We planted grass seed, it's starting to grow.
Amazing.
What do you think about the project?
I love this all. I mean, I think it's a very good thing, and I'm very happy that this hobgoblin got set free. Hobgoblin happy. Ha ha.
You think he's still going to live here? So that's what
I don't know. He might have. Who on earth knows? Who knows who his friends are?
I'm not going to lie. I think I felt it. I don't think he's gone. I think he was there.
But absolutely friendly. I didn't get one.
Oh, I didn't get a bad
negative
vibe.
Chill vibe at all.
I just felt something there.
Happy. It was a happy. Just good. Our mantra for this whole thing is hobgoblin happy. Ha ha.
Hobgoblin.
Just keep saying that. So would you kindly send me that and the original marker?
Yeah. Yes.
So I can start to put my little magazine together for this. So it's gonna be a little magazine.
Great.
An audio. A magazine. And if you want to send a sample of video.
Yes.
We can put that on YouTube just as a little sample and have that on the program.
Absolutely.
Let's do this up.
Man, well, hey.
And then I'm gonna do this for a couple of weeks. I'm gonna have a week off on Halloween.
Cool. Hey, appreciate you.
We'll be back soon. We'll be back soon. We'd like to have you on as a consultant on the show regularly, you know?
Yeah.
Be cool.
We'd love it.
That'd be awesome.
We'd love it.
You know, we might be doing
some. It's nice to put all this knowledge to a purpose in a world that is so rapidly de-spiritualizing. This whole COVID thing was like a massive anti-spiritual movement.
Yeah.
Making everyone afraid and not being social and ruining church.
Yeah.
I don't get how people are so out of it that they would. Hasidic Jews weren't falling for it down in the city. They were full throttle. During the peak of the lockdown, there was video circulated, which I still have, of a wedding. There had to be 300 of these guys packed into a room doing this, making this human wave, running up for the rabbi's daughter's wedding. It's like, all right, I want to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Give me one of those hats.
That's right. Well, yeah, just we'll be in touch for sure. Send me what you have. I'll send you what we have, and we're gonna make a good show.
If I'm missing email addresses or phone numbers, I'll get them from you. You've got all this stuff, right? Awesome. So you can be my main contact if I run out of time. But I'm going to process the audio tomorrow.
Yeah. Cool.
And,
appreciate you.
Good mission, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We got some good stuff there.
Yeah. We'll go put up over here.
Nice hat.
Thanks.
Got some leather.
I know.
It's got ear flaps that fold down.
Yeah.
And it's got to
keep you warm.
Wool inside. You should do something with Martina too.
Listen, that's up to her. I'm not chasing anybody.
I'll prompt.
I'm 58 and famous. I don't chase people.
Yeah, I'll
prompt. They can come to me, and I'll treat them nice. I had dinner with her that night.
Oh, good.
No, were you leaving there?
Yeah, I'll
do it. Bye. Thanks for holding space.
One thing to be good for, right?
That's important. Really important. That isn't any part of it.
Well, all right. See you soon.
Hey, Haunted History Tour. and I'm back at 10:48. Wow.